All right. Thank you for the warm and gracious welcome back and for the celebration of the birthday. To my family and to my family of the kingdom, praise God. It is such a privilege and honor to serve. I've been alive on this earth now. Tomorrow at 5:15 a.m., I will actually celebrate 55 whole years of being in this earth. And of those 55 years, 30 and probably 3 months of them have been spent in the kingdom of God. I grew up with my mother, our mother, Minister Denise, and mine, who brought us to church. You may be seated. Brought us to church when we were children. And one of the most gripping things, because a lot of things I learned about them even after both my mother and father were gone on, but one of the most gripping things at our mother's homegoing service was a preacher who first baptized me, and I think I was 8 years old at that time. He's now with the Lord. His name is Reverend S.B. Brown. And the way he even came to officiate the service was God in and of itself, because we had asked one preacher who was down in Southern California if he would come and do the service, because my mother highly respected him, and he said he couldn't make it unless we sent some money to bring him down, and we didn't have the money to do that. Now I understand. Then I didn't. I couldn't understand it. I just felt like it was wrong. But now I understand. But God moved Reverend S.B. Brown in at the last minute, and rightly so. He should have been the one that did her homegoing service. But he said something that was so heart-wrenching and gripping. And I was only 21 years of age, and he said this. He said all that she wanted was for all of her children to know the Lord. And that just gripped me. I mean, I lost it sitting on that pew. And it's like, wow, of everything, that's all she wanted. With me, and I don't know if the rest of the family members remember, she just wanted to live to see all of her kids grown. And she always told me, you know, from like the age of like 17, 18, 19, especially when I turned 18 and got my own apartment down in San Jose, she said, you won't be a grown man until you're 21. I don't care what the law says. And so she had that kind of command and that kind of respect. So when I was 21 and she died, I knew then I'm a man. And I've got to, man up to responsibilities. But like I said, that remained with me. And she died February 17, 1981. She actually died 2 weeks earlier, but they brought her back, which was something that she never wanted to happen. She says, if I'm ever in that state, don't try and bring me back. And so, sure enough, they did. They shocked her heart, and she came back. And so she was alive for about 2 more weeks and went on to be with the Lord on the operating table as they performed open-heart surgery, quadruple bypass. So anyways, those words that all she wanted was for her kids to know the Lord, they stayed with me. And they kept me for, like, I want to say 81 to 84, that's what, 3 years? They kept me for 3 years, and in that third year was when I surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ knowingly, and then I got started on a path, and 30 years later, I'm still on that path, and that path continues to get brighter and brighter. And I have no intentions of quitting. I have no intentions of turning back, drawing back, looking back. If I wasn't in the pulpit preaching, I'd be in the seat where you are, sitting and receiving and then looking to work, see where I can help out to build my Father's kingdom. One of the things that I've been tremendously blessed with is, and it's not just, you know, me or bragging or boasting on me, was to get an understanding of the church and get an understanding of God and what God is doing in the earth, and then trying to convey that to his people. To understand, I mean, read the best thing you could do as a child of God is read the Bible yourself. Don't just take my word. Don't just take what I say. Read it for yourself. Go through the scriptures. Make it a commitment, a vow to read God's word, the entirety of it, at least once a year. And then study to show yourself approved unto God, because one day we're all going to have to stand before him and give an account to him. And that's word in and of itself. One day we will actually have to stand before God and give an account for the deeds that we've done in the body. If a person is outside of the kingdom and not saved, they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where there is no advocate and there is no mercy, only judgment. And there's no one to stand in the gap, no one to plead on their behalf. All they can do is accept the judgment of God and be banished for all eternity, separated from the God who created the heavens and the earth. And the reason that we would perish, and the reason they will perish, is because they have rejected the only salvation that God has released in the earth. What about what other people believe? It's not about what other people believe. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you start from Genesis and go all the way to the book of the Revelation, and you read it with a heart that is open, soft, and pliable to God, God will give you perfect understanding of why the world is the way it is and the way things are going to end up, as well as how everything began. God says, "I'll tell you how everything got started. I'll tell you how everything got messed up, and I'll tell you how I can fix everything and bring it back into order." Because after all, after it's all said and done, God's going to have his way. It's all about who's going to be with him when he has his way. Amen. I'm looking to spend eternity and to take as many as I possibly can with the platform that God would give me. You want your family members in. Ah, man, there's nothing like having, Pastor Lucia said it, there's nothing like having your family there, but not just there, but into Jesus. I mean, they are consumed in the love and power. They are just as consumed. It's like Ernestine Killing. She just wanted her children to know God. That's what she wanted. And she made all of us go to church. And as they got older, because I was the youngest one, as they got older, they went off on their different paths. And then when I got older, I went off on my different path. But some of us came back. And what she believed for is now happening. Somebody prayed for you. They prayed for you to get in. And may you get to that place that what they were believing in for you will start to happen. And maybe even now, maybe even today. Celebration of life is a good thing, but celebration of life in Jesus is the main thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so now, having come to that awareness of what she had, and even years after our mother had been gone on with Jesus, going into the room and finding books that she had and things that she studied and learned, and coming across pamphlets that talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't know whether she knew about that or not, but she had some understanding because she was in the Word. As a matter of fact, she got in trouble with many preachers within the community because she knew the Word herself, and she was one of those that was kind of like outspoken. And if that wasn't the Bible, she would let them know, and she would get in trouble by that. And sometimes she would get hurt and offended, and then she'd turn away from the church. She wouldn't turn away from God, but she'd turn away from the church, and then she'd just go on. But in her last days, she had come back in fully and then went on to glory. And so I want to spend the rest of my life, I want my children to know the Lord. I want their children to know the Lord. I want their children's children to know the Lord. And I want everybody that have the opportunity to preach the message to or share, because it's not just a public thing where you need people out here to talk to. It could be a one-on-one thing. Amen. That's one thing that they've given me, the liberty. And they didn't understand everything. To them, they may look at it as if he's abandoned us for them, but there's no abandonment. If anything, it's abandoning all for Christ, but not abandoning them, because then I'd be worse than an infidel. But they've always known that I would provide for them and be there for them. Even when they were in trouble, they just knew Dad would come through. Even when they knew Dad was right and they were wrong, still they knew if they needed me, he would come. Some people get mad over that because it's like, well, they know you. They know you're going to be there. And yes, that's what a dad does, especially with daughters. Oh, that's what a dad does. That's why I say don't worry about a thing. You keep being that man that you are. Grow in Christ. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Walk with Jesus. He'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. When everything looks bleak and hopeless, Jesus will be right there with you, giving you a ray of hope, saying, believe, only believe. Trust me, but it hurts. Trust me anyways. But they didn't have to do that. They did it, but that's okay. Hallelujah. So after that, I've only got 5 minutes left, and I'm going to let you go. I just want to thank you, each and every one of you, for being here. I see we have some guests over here to my right. Sir, if you don't mind, could you give me your name? Devron? How did you hear about us, Devron? Somebody's responsible. This is a guilty person? He stands before God, guilty as charged, inviting somebody to church. Praise God. Thank you, Devron. Thank you for coming. This precious couple behind you? It's your fault. Started with him, went to him, and then you come too. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. May I have your name, if you don't mind? Oscar, Julie, Judy, thank you, amen, praise God. Thank you, Devon, Oscar, and Judy, thank you for coming to fellowship with us. No disrespect, Judy, amen. No disrespect, thank you for coming to fellowship with us today. It's a special day as we're celebrating 55 years, and it's not about me as the man, and you know, it's not about the worship of man, but, you know, I started to share with you. I was going to take you to Matthew chapter 26 and talk about the woman who came in the house where Jesus and his disciples were. Jesus gave his disciples authority and power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers. Freely they receive, freely they give. He gave them that ability, that divine authority to be able to go and do these great exploits in his name. And even after having done all of that and having rescued them out of situations and circumstances, here at this moment in time, as he's preparing to be offered up on the cross, not because he did anything wrong, not because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, not because God all of a sudden got mad at him, but it was by the divine counsel of Almighty God that he would go to the cross, be crucified, nailed there, and then after he yielded up and gave up his life, because nobody could take his life from him, he gave up the ghost, gave up the spirit. They took him down from the cross, buried him in a tomb, and 3 days after he came out of that grave to die no more. It was by the divine purpose of God. These men who walked with Jesus and experienced the power that was on him, he gave them power to do the same thing. These men got bent out of shape because a woman came to worship Jesus. You read it in Matthew chapter 26. A woman came to worship Jesus and to anoint him for his burial. And they got an attitude. And then they used some religious jargon to say, this costly oil out of this alabaster box could have been sold, and the money that would be gained from it could be given to the poor. All of them were guilty. Judas just acted out in the flesh what was already in his heart and what God knew before time he would do. But the disciples, you read it, it's plural. The disciples were upset. Why has this woman wasted this costly oil? Do we need to go there real quick? I got 60 minutes, 60 seconds. Turn in your Bible to. Oh, here we go. This is going to be another 15 minutes. No, it's not. No, it's not. Especially if you hurry. Now, if I have to wait on you forever to go to your Bible, some of you might have to go home and get it because you forgot to bring it to church, like going to class without your textbook. Teacher, don't smile on that too kindly. It says, Matthew chapter 26, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed and to be crucified. They assembled themselves together, and the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and consulted how they might. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in chapter 6, in verse 6 of chapter 26, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very, everybody say very, very precious ointment, costly ointment, if you will. See, she understood. Now, this was a woman of the streets, a woman of the night, a woman who sold her body, if you will. She was what was classified as a sinner. And yet God used this sinner to take, look at the value a sinner cast on her Lord. What does that say about those who flocked with him on a daily basis, tasted of his anointing, received of his blessing, were blessed coming in and blessed going out, able to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the mute to talk, the poor even heard the gospel through them. And it takes a sinner to come and show value and love and adoration, costly, precious oil. It cost a year's wages. Who would take their annual salary and lay it at the feet of Jesus? I'm not doing that. And yet I go to church every Sunday. I live off of God's blessings. Every time the pastor says, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. I'm under that umbrella of the blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah. But when it comes to pouring out something costly, something of value on him, now we got to consider things. But this woman, she took it. And when she opened it, the aroma and the scent filled the room where everybody was. Precious. It wasn't no stench. It was a very aromatic, pleasant smell. Filled the whole house. And yet, the disciples, as well as the owner of the house who had invited Jesus to come in, all of them got an attitude. This should have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus is like, you got the poor with you always. You can always do something with the poor. He says, but me, you don't have always. This woman did this for my burial. And then he said this, what she has done shall be for a memorial. Everywhere this gospel is preached, and 2,000 years later, we're still preaching that message in honor of this woman because our Lord and Savior said so. Wherever this gospel is preached, you talk about what this woman has done. And so you want to be so involved in your relationship with Christ Jesus that nothing is too good for him. Nothing is too precious for him. Nothing is too valuable. People don't understand that because we're still earthly. God's called us up to the heavenly. We're still attached to the earthly things, and we hold fast to that more than we do the heavenly things. I say this with no disrespect to families, because I am a family person. It may not seem like it, but my wife and I, we are family. Our children know that we love them and gave what we could to them. Amen? And when I say this with all respect. But the thing of it is that we have a heavenly family that we're going to spend all eternity with. And all of our earthly family that rejects this message that we have to preach to them, they're going to a place that we're not going. So it's only befitting that you would spend more time with kingdom family, taking care of kingdom business. And the only reason it excludes human family is because human family don't want Jesus. And you cannot force Jesus on anybody. They have to welcome him in. And when you welcome him in, he takes over. He changes your whole outlook, everything inside, your mind, your heart. He changes everything about your priorities. Just get all messed up. You might have had them in a neat stack. All in place. And then Jesus just comes in and just boom and just kicks it all out of array. In order to bring it into divine alignment, that we can all be fit, suitable for the master's use. And that's what you want for every family member. That's what you want for even your enemies. That's what you want for everyone that you come in contact with. You want them to come into divine. Are you understanding me? You want them to come into divine alignment. Not because it's going to make you look good. It's because it's the will of our Father, who is the Father of all fathers. It is his design. It is his plan. It is his purpose. If I could tell you some of the backgrounds of some of the people that are in here, some of you probably say, wow. We got people who were formerly lesbians who have families now. We got people who are formerly homosexual and they're worshiping God now. People who formerly sold their bodies out there in the streets, but they're serving Jesus now. And what's going up before the Lord as they continue to open themselves up to him is that aroma that fills the room that says, thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Thank you for life. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you I have been rescued from the snares of sin and hell, the grave. I have eternal life abiding within me now. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus has set me free. Stand to your feet. For those of you who need prayer, you can come to the altar and we'll pray with you. And for everyone that is here, I believe there's enough food. And if there's not enough food, then just come for the fellowship anyways. But we're going to go down to the MP room, which is just down the way, to continue the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus and the life that he's given me in these 55 years, of which 30 have been spent in him. Oh, praise God. Kept by the Master. We celebrate with you even as you celebrate with us. Celebrate our children being here. Every time they come in, hallelujah. We love having them. We don't try and put them on blast. Praise God. But we celebrate your victories too. And we celebrate when your children get moved by the Spirit of God, touched by the anointing, and your praise reports as well. That's just so awesome, a promotion just calls Minister D up on the phone and says, here, you know, and drops it in her lap. She's applied for things before, but this is the favor of God. She didn't have to do anything. It came to her. And there's just testimonies like that that happen all around and continue to happen. And we want more. And God's ready to break out with more. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got no reason to come in this house and be frowned up or mad or angry. You're just going to hinder God's blessing. You better come in here rejoicing and expecting. You got a problem, expecting God to fix it. Hallelujah. Glory. You got a loved one that's out there acting crazy, expecting God to deliver them, and you're going to praise God until you see it manifest. And after it's done, you're going to keep on praising him. Devil think, oh, they'll stop now that that one is saved. No, devil, there's still more out there that need salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. I said I was going to stop, and I am. Do we need to cover anything else? Just bless the food? Okay. Praise God. Anyone need prayer? Are you saved? If you're saved and you know it, raise your hand. Okay. If you did not raise your hand and you're not sure whether you're saved or not, I want to give you the opportunity. Brother Rocky, you saved? I gotcha. I'll be checking to see who's going to be responding. Amen. And that was a QLM. What we going to do about that, Brother Finn? We might have to jack him tomorrow night, huh? Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here, everyone who came to hear from you and fellowship with the saints. Lord, receive something, and I pray that they receive something of substance that sustains them and keeps them going and running for you, that no one runs away, but everyone runs towards you. And Lord, as we get ready to move from this place to the other, I ask your blessing upon each and every one, that the Lord our God bless you and your household, and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, that he will lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace, that his name would be over you and your household, that he might bless you so that you can enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you are the church of the living God. And everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the fellowship and the food that we're about to enjoy down here, that you'll be in the conversation of each and every one of us as we celebrate your goodness. Thank you for everyone that has pitched in, chipped in, taken part, even those that have blessed me, Father. I know it's in your heart, it's in your will for your sons and daughters to bless your servants and just bless them in return. Multiply their seed sown and the love that they show in the serving down here in the MP room. Father, honor them. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and give you praise. Amen and amen.